Let us move forward in dissertation of our theme. Take your document out. Everybody should have one. Repeat after me. Scripture comprehensions of measures. The matrix. Let's say it again. Scripture comprehensions of measures. The matrix. Let's go to page 20. Two. In a document. And Elder Nickerson is our designated reader this morning. Let's go back where we were. There, yes, there are yet some other golden nuggets we need to pull out of there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2 Corinthians. Correction. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 12. Now, if you remember, we've been on this verse for the last couple of outings, and somebody said, well, we know that. Let's move on. Well, thank God if you know it. I don't know it yet. There are things that are continuing to pop out as we go over it. That's the glorious thing about the Word of God. It is the living Word. It is written, but it The written aspect is that aspect of revelation. The actualized essence of it is that which God has spoken. Amen. You know, the song that is so popular now that the church say, amen, God has spoken. Amen. When did he speak? He spoke it everything in eternity. Everything is complete. And so when we look into the matrix, we look into life, we see testimonial manifestations for the sake of God communicating to us that which he did, not that which he is doing, that which he did. Everything is done. Your tomorrow and next week and next year. It's done. It's done. Amen. It hasn't manifested yet, but it's decreed. The elections, they're about all up in the air about the election. It's done. Whoever will lead this nation for the next 4 years, God made that decree in eternity. No, I'm not going to say it's a win. Why? Then we should not go vote. Listen to what we're saying. You know, and I'll make our political statement right now. On November the 6th, go to the poll and vote for who the Lord leads you to. Period. That's it. Why? Because God has already installed him, amen, in place. It just hasn't been manifested to us yet. And as for his will, it is for this thing that we've got to understand about life. As you look into the matrix, this is light being shown forth, and it's there to communicate to us that which God has already accomplished. It's done. Everything is done. Everything, you are completing him. Everything concerning you is complete. It's done. Everything. The rest of your life is already done. It just hasn't been manifested to you yet. And the thing is, do we trust God this morning? Do we trust him? Do we really, really trust him? Amen. Our new book that's out now, the ministry's book, Don't Be Afraid of God's Will, be released within the next couple of weeks. Amen. And be available For those that are listening on through our website, you can order it. You can order it through Amazon or anything. I'm just not making an advertisement here. I want everyone to have accessibility to this information. Again, repeat after me. Don't be afraid of God's will. And see, as we look into what we call life, which is actually looking at the matrix, basically, we're not all just completely dumbfounded by life. And looking at things that are to come in our minds, and then we are all upset, and we don't have any peace, because we contemplating things, and it's almost like we feel like there's some indiscriminate force out there, and things are just happening. That's not right. That's not right. The universe has a creator. And in creation, he designed everything that is to be created. He designed everything. Everything. Everything touching everything. It's already set in place. God didn't design, create the world and then step back and say, all right, let's see what you guys do. No. Mm-mm. What we see in the matrix of what we call life, manifestations, and the light is shining, and it's all set up in planes and in grids and lines. And basically, it's charted there, each one. All right. Let's, Elder, for the sake of time, amen, let's just read that one verse. Now, to contextualize again what we're dealing with, as he writes here to the church at Corinth in his second letter, he speaks of the God of all comfort, who is able to comfort us. And Paul was speaking from experience. Amen. The things of life that we are faced with, they're there for a purpose, a reason. If you lost your job, God has a purpose for you losing your job. Oh, what? Which, huh? Something happens, and I was going to go do this and that and the other, and this happens, and now I'm not going to get to do that. That was purposed. There was no way you could do what you thought you were going to do.
No way.
No way.
Amen.
Who sets the agenda?
God.
You know, I mean, back to Colossians 1 and, what's that, 16 again, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But all things were created what? In him. What?
Through him, and for him.
Let's do that again. In him, yeah. Through him, for him. Him. Your life is not about you. Again, Romans chapter 14, verse 7, around there somewhere, it speaks that none of us live to ourselves and none of us die to ourselves. And some preach that, they started quoting the report, no man is an island. That's not what Paul was saying. He was saying that your purpose and reason for living is not about you. None of us have a reason within ourselves for living. You live at the pleasure of God. You move at the pleasure of God. Everything concerning you is at the pleasure of God. And we don't understand that sometimes when the Lord moves some of us out of here. He's not mad at anyone. That purpose for which, amen, you are living has been completed. And so your purpose in dying, amen, is the essence of to him. It reads, no one has a reason within themselves to live. No one has a reason within themselves to die. Your dying is not to die. When you die, that's not to you. Huh?
Oh, glory.
You know. And it says whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. That's Brother Deacon, we went through that. That's in the genitive case. We belong to the Lord. You know, Paul spoke that same thing on Mars Hills in Acts as it recorded, as he was speaking to those Athenians, and they were dealing with all of these idols. And Paul, he said, well, let me hear what you're talking about so I can tell you what I'm talking about. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And basically, he said, in him, who is him? In Christ. In him we do what? We live, we what? We move, and what? We are. In him. Everybody say in Christ. So that's where the action is. And so this exercise here is to get us to focus where the reality and the actuality of life really is.
Yes. Amen.
All right? Elder, just read that one verse first in the King James, that 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12.
For our rejoicing.
Wait a minute, I hear pages there. All right. Amen. Everyone got it, amen? All right, read.
For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you, Lord.
All right, now, that's translation from the King James. Now, why do we go through this detailed analysis? It is for the purpose of first establishing what is actually conveyed. Now, once you get the actual utterance correct, now you're on the trail to dealing with the exegesis, that is the interpretation. Mm-hmm. You got to first interpret what it said before you can interpret what it means. You got to interpret first what it says before you can accurately interpret what it means. Mm-hmm. Wrong saying, automatically wrong meaning.
Automatic. That's it.
Let's go to the Greek.
For the boasting of us, this is the testimony of the conscience of us,
mm-hmm.
because in sanctity and in sincerity of God, not in wisdom fleshly, but in grace, in the grace of God, we mm-hmm. behave in the world,
mm-hmm.
more especially and with you.
Amen. All right. So the essence of it is that we of ourselves listen have been given a chartered course in life. And Paul understood that in the first verses as he dealt with the essence of what experiences he had received. Some of them very severe. Sometimes in our lives, we encounter very severe and seemingly adverse things. And here Paul lays out the essence of why. You know, many times people ask, why, Lord, why? Why? In fact, they say, why me? Not only why, but why me? Why not the next fella? You know what Peter said? He said in corroboration, he said, "But John, he said, well, what about this fella? He said, well, what about him? You gonna have me doing all this suffering? What is this fella gonna do?" The Lord said, "It has nothing to do with you." Oh, you all don't hear me this morning. So it becomes encumbered for us to comprehend and understand according to the directives and directions that are given us, so that we'll know what's going on. In the book, we make a comment, the more you know, the less you fear. The less you know, the more you fear. I'm going to add a little bit to that. The more you know, the more you're satisfied and content. The less you know, the more you grumble. The more you complain. The more you are bewildered. Another place Paul writes, he said, I have learned to be what? Content. Actually, that look into that section there. I have learned to be not just content, but enthusiastic. All that has happened to me. I mean, here God fixed this man's mouth as he's sitting in prison. He writes, rejoice. Paul was in prison when he was writing to the saints and said, rejoice. But here, he had given him a clear perspective of where he was and who he was. Because he starts off, he said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. Which means I am more a prisoner of the Lord than I am a prisoner in this cell. Oh, God help us if we can learn to live that way, to think that way, to embrace life that way, and be thankful. One part of prayer, as we were at the nursing home the other night, and we were had gone there to render a service, so I looked around the room at the residents that were there and the different conditions. I said, every one of you have something to be thankful about. That's it. Now, what happens is before you get caught up in the proceedings of the matrix, look into the essence of life, which is not in the matrix, but is in the God of your salvation, who in eternity has placed you in a most favorable position. We are heirs of God. That means too much to some. If your only reason, way you rate God is based upon your encounters and what you see and what you experience in the matrix. And some people have relegated God to just what's going on here on earth. No, some of them, what's going on just basically in my home and in my hometown, in my, you know, we limit God. In the old days, the older people, they did best they knew how at the time. But when light comes, we go with the light, right? He is more than food to eat. And shelter over my head, and all while these things is very important, clothes on my back, and et cetera, and so forth. So God is more than that. He's more than just healing of my body, or giving me a raise on the job, or giving me a job. What if you not only don't get the raise, suppose you lose the job, is God still good? Suppose you lose the home, is God still good? Suppose you lose your health, is God still good? Now, if you're caught up in the matrix, if you're caught up just in the immediate situations that are surrounding you, it's not going to look too encouraging. That's matrix viewing. That's strictly matrix viewing of what you call life. That's not life. Your life is eternal. Your life is never ending. Everything in the matrix is coming to an end. Your life is a hope that is beyond what you see, what you experience. Our everyday occurrences. Oh my God, help us to know that we're just passing through. Real essence of life. Bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Having already blessed us with each and every spiritual blessing. And the spiritual blessing is in the heavens. The heavens are in Christ. According as he chose you in him before manifestation of the creation of the world. Being separated and blameless before him. In love, having preset the boundaries, having foreordained you, or predestined you, as the King James, I have no problem with it. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, yes.
Unto some positioning. That's where you are, because that's where you were from the beginning, and nothing can interrupt that. That's what we're thankful for. Give the God a praise. Give him a praise. Hey!
Hallelujah.
So whether I'm sick, whether I'm ailing, whether I'm broke. Wait a minute, Pastor, you're going too far now. Whether I'm hungry. Didn't Paul write one occasion? He said we hunger and thirst. He said, while I'm writing this, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty and I can't get food. One of the litany of things that Paul, in the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians, says, he writes, he speaks of fasting. He wasn't talking about a volitional fast. In fasting, that fasting simply means to go without food and water.
Glory. Fasting's often.
Yeah, often. Not you. Huh? Fasting, not because we call a fast and we're going to push the plate. You know, they used to teach us, hey, if you want God to do something, you got to break that plate. I'm not making fun of the old saints. Amen. Thank God that they came before us and that was part of the process. Amen. But here, he's not talking about that. He's talking about not being able to get food. And he's saying God is good. You want something and it comes out the opposite. Is God still good? Well, I wanted to do that. I wanted to do this.
Yeah.
I prayed to the Lord.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm going to be like the woman that worried the judge. I'm going to keep on asking for this thing until I get it. Well, scripturally, I'll give you 3 times. After the time. What did Lord tell Paul?
Leave it alone.
Paul, leave that thing alone. Yes, that's not my will. My will is that through your ailment and weakness, I'm going to be magnified and glorified.
Glory to God.
Our lives are not about ourselves. Our lives are about him.
Amen.
Our living is about him. Our breathing is about him. Oh, God, help his people to come to learn that and understand. Your life is not what you think your life is if you don't understand that it is about him. Now, I'll do a little exegesis here. Oh, God, look at that clock. Amen. I feel better now. Amen. Amen. That's not, I'm going to preach the hour and a half here. Another fellow I know, he has that record around here. In the 12th verse, there's a word in that verse, said, for the boasting of us, this is the testimony of the, and here it's translated here, conscience. The Greek word is synesthesios. Synesthesios. As we have conveyed before, this is a compound Greek word. Follow me now. Oh, Pastor, you get to just follow. The first prefix, every time you see the prefix syn, it means together. 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 The other part of the word is ethesios. Basically, the root being ethesia, which means the senses, the conscious, the senses. Yes, yes. To bring, so when you say sing together, ethesios, ethesia, the senses, it means to bring the senses together, yes. To unite your mind. That in testimony, our minds are united. Mm-hmm. And there's only way, as Paul speaks of unity in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Don't turn there. He says, now, the only thing that can unite us. Mm-hmm. We have one what? Lord. One what? One faith. One baptism, one God, who is the Father of all. Basically, he's saying we must focus and concentrate on God and everything concerning him.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
He is life. Mm-hmm. When Paul said, Christ is my life.
Yes, he did.
Thank you. Here, as this goes forth, as we unite our minds, our spirits, our hearts, our affections, a priority.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
It is on him.
Oh, yes.
It is on him. Look at where this is going here. Here you have have the Greek word agis. They have translated sanctity or sincerity. That's fine. Devotionally. The other Greek word is elekrivia. Elekrivia. Which is translated, well, the accent is written on the first syllable there. E lacrivia. Which they have translated here, sincerity. Singleness. Which means focus.
All right.
Notice how it is conveyed here. The next two words is to Theu, of God. Brother Deacon, you have your Greek lexicon there. God is what?
It would be a genitive.
The genitive case. Pastor, you can just listen. What is the genitive case?
Possession.
We belong to God. Our minds, your mind. You know, I remember when I was a little boy that they used to sing the song. They hear the same. A lot of songs, all singing it. You know, I go through them sometimes, and I don't know what they were thinking, but it's you know, he said, my mind belonged to God. My whole body belonged to God. My feet belonged to God. And he said, my head belonged to God.
Glory to God.
Y'all remember that song?
Yeah, that's amen. Yes.
That's what this is saying. All of you belong to him.
Glory.
To bring our minds together to focus on him.
Right.
In the medical profession, they have the word, the same word they use. Synesthesia. And a person that is thought to be synesthetic is one who has maybe lost one portion of their senses. And another sense that they still have kicks in the gear. You know, I might not be able to see good, but I can hear better.
Right. Right.
I mean, even as I studied that, there are some who see numbers and colors. That see dates in frames, which they really are. In other words, it's called spatial synesthesia. In other words, 1980 is here, 1990 is there, Friday's here, Monday's there. So, well, we all think that way. You don't see it. A person that has lost their sight and numbers smell different. That doesn't seem possible to us. In fact, some scientists refuse to put that in their annual because that just seems so far-fetched.
Right.
You see, light that is shined into the matrix is the medium of God communicating.
Right.
And the God of your salvation, he can communicate any way he wants to whom and how. He wants to.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Thank God. Yes.
So a person that can see numbers through smelling them, is that possible? Yes. What Paul is speaking of here would fall more into the spatial synesthesia. And what he is saying here is that as we look at things in life, we don't look at them face value.
Oh, Jesus.
We don't look at the process.
Lord Jesus.
We're looking at the purpose.
Lord Jesus.
In other words, we don't define things on the basis, follow me here, we don't define things on the basis I've said, what is this?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The real assessment of what it is what is this one? What is this for? This happened. What is this for?
Yes.
What it is for defines what it is.
Yes.
Oh, because, let's say a person who has the, I won't call it condition, but who has the situation of what they call spatial synesthesia, that see things in frames. Basically, they are lying. And this is why I was watching on the Science Channel that there's certain people that had certain conditions in their mind. This fella can listen to a symphony one time, sit down and play it, because it is recorded in his mind. God can communicate. God can communicate to whom he wants to communicate, in whatever medium he wants to communicate in. He can take away the seeing so that he will increase the hearing so that he can still communicate. Or he can, in the case of, what was this young lady that, I can't think of her name now, that had, couldn't see nor hear. Helen Keller. God communicated. That's to the glory of God. You see, the light shines into the matrix for the purpose of communicating, and it is not based upon your senses or your utilization of your senses. It is through the Spirit. It is Spirit to Spirit. Oh, y'all don't hear me. One of these days, we're going to wake up and understand who God really is.
Yes. I hear you. I hear you.
He's not your companion. He is your creator.
Amen.
And only companion in the sense of you being in Christ and the essence of you being a member of his body. God does to whom he wants, yes, what he wants. How he wants, y'all don't hear me.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
We're talking about God.
Amen. Yes.
Yes, sir.
And so this is how we have to view life, through God's word. The essence of how things line up. Lord, what are you doing with this? If you're going to ask the question, what is this? And we set agendas and we have our ideas of how things should go, how things should operate. And then when they don't, we're upset.
Yes.
We're for long. A little upset with God.
Oh, yes.
Every one of us at one time, we've been a little upset with God. Oh, we don't have nerve to come out and say that.
Yes.
But subconsciously. Because
yes.
I had this thing planned down to the T, but that was your plan.
I hear you. Oh, glory. Jesus.
Lord Jesus. Come on, Pastor.
Have mercy.
Your life was ordered by him. Every bit of it before you ever got here. And you can't change any of it. Only thing it's been doing is that light is going forth. You know, like we was on the front cover there, you see that he possesses light. And the light comes from him. And the light's coming from him is just revelation of showing us on in a frame, a scale of what we call the matrix, or what we call in time, or what we call life,
right.
What he's already done, which is really what life really is what he has said,
Lord.
Not what we see.
That's right.
And Paul understood that thing is said, Lord, if I understood what you were doing here, he said, you know, I would much rather glory in my tribulation. I said, Paul, you're crazy. He said, no, I'm not. Because now I see. And as I move through time and I move through the frames, I see the essence of what it is. It is what God is. And what he says, I say amen.
Amen.
You know, we let the church say amen. You know, you're just singing. God has spoken. Don't sit grudgingly because you're afraid if you don't, he's going to do something worse to you than what you think you're going through. But we look beyond the spatial aspects of what's in the matrix and see the essence of a God that loves you.
Hallelujah.
You got more going for you,
yes, sir,
than the devil could ever bring against you.
Hallelujah.
You are winners, not losers. You are victors, not victims. And so the praise is forever there. And so Paul, he finishes that verse. Said, now this is not in worldly wisdom. But I'm talking about the grace of God. This is not on the worldly order. But if this is speaking of the grace of God. When you speak of the grace of God, you're into spirituality, not physicality. Learn to be glad instead of sad.
Yes, yes.
Thank God.
Learn to be thankful instead of walking around grumbling. Here, God's people are heirs of God, heirs of that which belongs to Christ. Sons of God, dissatisfied. Some position in the body of Christ. And because I don't like what I'm going through in what we call life, I'm dissatisfied. Whatever that is, it's temporary. It's passing. Look at the permanent place of where you are.
Yes. Amen.
Let's go. Page 22 of our document. Before we had dealt with our, in that first paragraph, effervesce our excitement, that which gives us enthusiasm. Of the measurements that are in the matrix are not going to be alone. It'd be like a little baby. You ever seen a little baby? In fact, they had a little baby on the internet. I think it was YouTube, and the father, it was either the father or the mother. They recorded it. They would play this music. And as long as they played the music, he would laugh. Did any of y'all see that? The minute the music stopped, he starts crying. That's us in the matrix. As long as the music is playing, we're laughing.
Yes.
But because everything in the matrix is temporary, it goes from a state of stability to instability. Here, as we say, deteriorations. I'm going to read this. Epiphanes of prophet testimonials in measures the matrix exhibits in inevitable morph or changed deteriorations of all that are depicted within. Whatever you are into and you're so happy about, sooner or later the music's going to stop.
That's right.
people.
Yes, yes, yes.
Sooner or later, the music's going to stop. We put our joy and peace in situations. Sooner or later, the music's going to stop. I had this thriving career. I'm just paraphrasing somebody to be talking. All of a sudden, the bottom fell out. You know, some people, you know, lose the job, and we think that was last week, this man, and of course it happens all the time, went and got a gun and came back and started killing people and then killed himself. As happy as he was when the music stopped, it completely changed his conscience. Our life is not about a job. It's not about our jobs. Our lives are not even about each other.
No.
Oh, no, they're not.
No.
Our lives are about Christ.
Christ. Amen.
Our relationships on earth are temporary.
All of
them. But if we're all in Christ, that is eternal. And that relationship in Christ continues, and it is more than anything that we could embrace here on earth.
Glory. Amen. Oh, Jesus.
So what he said in this first paragraph is that these corollary of resulting ravages in time that represent actually opportunities commencing initiatory rites of desolation, though they were predetermined. That thing didn't fall apart because of something you did or didn't do. It was ordained.
Glory to God. Amen. Yes.
You were ordained to lose that job. You better hear me this morning. From eternity, Paul learned that he was ordained to lose his health. Why am I sick? Look at all these other people. They're not serving God and do. It was ordained.
Yes.
But it's not permanent. Now, that's the kind of ministering we need to minister when we go into the nursing homes. Not go down the line touching people, talking about heal, 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 screaming.
Right, Pastor. Right.
I command the sickness to come out of you and all of that. This is where the ministries have failed.
That's right.
First of all, who are you screaming at? God. The devil. No. The devil didn't put it in and can't take it out either. He's an accommodator.
That's it. That's all.
Thus, they have in every sense a manifestation already begun, yet been decided before they entered the point of no return. He said, this is the point of no return. He said, no. This was already set for purpose. Everybody said purpose. These testimonies explicate that personal acts, listen to this, personal acts of judgment and choice, they situate the agenda on the matrix. We think we're driving the plane or the bus, yet their ineffectiveness cannot be avoided. Pretty soon, you either lost control or you never had control. Which one was it? You never had control. Never had control. We don't control our lives. We don't have agendas. We have imaginary itineraries. God has the agenda. And I think he has done a great job. I mean, we're heirs of God. We're children of God. We're sons of God. We're some position in Christ.
Yes.
We're heirs of that which belongs to Christ.
All of it.
Yeah. We're in Him. Mm-hmm. We're members of His body.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we're dissatisfied. Oh, God, help us. In the kingdom gospel of Jesus, one time He said, it would be better in cooperation for you to be maimed in this world.
That's right.
And connected with Me eternally. Than to have, I'm just paraphrasing now, and to have health like you, cleaner than the Board of Health.
Glory. Yes.
And be separated from Me.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Because what's happening now is temporary.
Temporary.
In the essence of what you are in relationship to Me is eternal. So God help us to have spatial synesthesia. Everybody says synesthesia.
Synesthesia.
And the opposite of that is what men of God's people have. There's a medical term, and my daughter Lisa in her nursing career could tell you that. It is called anesthesia, and that's when you sever the nerves. You know, and thank God for that anesthesiologist.
Thank God, yes. Amen.
Before they had that size, I don't know how they did operation. many people died from the shock. When the pain, and I know I probably would have been one of them because. On a scale of 10, my tolerance for pain is 0. Walk the floor most of the night with this condition I have. Diverticulitis. And it was rough. I tried not to disturb my wife. But sometimes I wanted to scream out. Oh! But if you sever the nerves, then you don't know what's going on. Men of God's people's nerves are severed as it comes to spirituality.
That's true.
Spiritually brain dead. No better off than the world that don't know Him. Think like them, we act like them.
Yes.
Essence of it. Now we're going to close for the day. Oh, my God. So human compassions do not exude pristine certainties of no on what such was previously subjected to, a yes to what is yet inexperienced. We don't control anything. One more paragraph and then we're down. We're going to run a little over this morning. Everybody say, unfamiliar and inexperienced. This is the unfamiliar facilitation that bears neither the dismal, this is where we begin next week, nor dazzling appeal exhibited in the transactions imbued at the preparation and end of occurrences. Here's what we're saying. What is the dowsing pill? That's what gives me enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? That's when everything is going my way.
Yes.
What is the dismal pill? When things are going the opposite of what I want. So you have occurrences, and that thing could either go what we call positive or negative. That thing could make you happy or could make you sad. That thing could cause you to rejoice or to cry. So you got these opposite spectrums we have to consider every time we're dealing with something, and the more unfamiliar it is, the more shaky we are about it. And if we're inexperienced, if we haven't experienced something before, and you're going through it, it makes you even more shaky. But then some of us go through stuff and it doesn't matter because we walk by sight. You know, we sing the song, each victory will help you another to win. We go through the same thing over and over again and we don't get the lesson. That thing just goes right by us. You know, in the Old Testament, David was facing the lion. No, he was facing the giant. And he remembered his encounter with the bear and the lion. So though he was going to a specific inexperience, it was familiar to him. So whether there was victory or whether there was defeat, amen, he put it in perspective of not what he could do, but what God had done. Now that's in the Old Testament, looking from the horizontal plane. Now here we are, eternally new creations in Christ.
Glory to God. Thank God.
Completed Christ.
Completed.
And now we're stuck in gear because we're in the middle of some situation. Mm-hmm. That situation is past. And regardless of how it came out, amen, hallelujah, your victory is in Christ. Your victory is in the essence of who you are in Him. Your victory, amen, is in the essence of eternality beyond whatever's in the matrix.
Yeah.
Whatever is in life. These chronicles arouse incapacities to reliably certify whatever and whenever such are believed. In spite of these morph charismas, and I have to come back next week. I'm going to just end with this sentence. Their views identify the dazzling appeal and the genuine temptation, comfortable numbness and ease. And of course, what we do is we lay out this thing as this is the way it is. And this is the way God's going to do this thing. And you know what? That's what brings me comfort. Because I'm convinced that God's agenda is going to align with man. Instead of just having confidence in God's agenda.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Come on, Pastor. Amen.
Again, in the book, Don't Be Afraid of God's Will, and I'm ending because the time is gone. Amen. I could go on, but I've learned in this assembly, when you reach that 1 hour plateau, you might as well quit because your bands have quit. Mm-hmm. But in essence, of what it is conveyed there, it is to be joyful and satisfied and encouraged and enthusiastic about God's will.
Yes, sir.
Because you know He loves you.
Yes, sir. Come on, Pastor. Yes.
And He knows that your best welfare, mm-hmm, He has at heart.
He has it.
Because of what He is, because of who you are.
Yes.
In Him. And that His will works, mm-hmm, for you, not against you. And that the incidents of this life, mm-hmm, are just things that you encounter for the sake of testimony of your conscience being brought together to focus on who you are and where you are. Oh my God.
Glory to God.
Where are you this morning?
In Christ.
Hmm? have coined some words. We have never put the music to it yet. In the heavenlies in Christ. In the heavenlies in Christ. In eternity, he elected me. In the heavenlies in Christ. That's where I am. That's who I am. That's where my joy is. That's where the true victory is. That's where the happiness is. Where my priorities are. This is the essence of me. An eternal hope. To the end, what I'm saying about hope, amen, it's on the basis of spatial synesthesia. And my conscience being brought together beyond the essence of what's in the matrix and concentrating. And so when I sing, I sing with an understanding. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. But holy, can you say holy? Can you say holy? Can you say completely? Lean on Jesus' name. On Christ. Can you say on Christ? Can you say on Christ? The solid rock. I stand. Why? Because all of the ground is sinking sand. I better quit. God bless you. Take it up next week. Oh!